Good evening, everyone. Glad that you're here, and I appreciate you moving forward. That's very nice. At first, I saw a lot of people at the back, so it's good to know that you're here. I've seen you greet each other, so I have a feeling you've gotten that part out of your system. That's a good thing, too. So we're going to begin with the call to worship. Yet even now, says the Holy One, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Let us join in hymn number 595. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, Be Thou My Vision. Friends in Christ, we begin today a 40-day journey toward Easter. We enter the Lenten season to prepare ourselves to welcome the risen Christ with lives renewed by the breath of His Spirit. We assume a discipline of self-examination, confession, and penitence. We dedicate ourselves to meditate upon the Scriptures and to converse with God in prayer. We seek to be more faithful disciples of Christ, whose lives are shaped by the one whom we confess to be Lord and Savior of the world. To this end, let us worship God. Now we'll have our first scripture reading.
Reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 12 through 17a. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness, there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. There like never has been from of old, nor will be again after them through the years of all generations. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, a cereal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare thy people, O Lord, and make not thy heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God?
Second scripture reading comes from the book of Corinthians 5:20b through 6:10. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Let us join in the response to the scripture readings. Cry and God will answer.
Call and the Lord will say, I am here.
If you do away with the yoke, the clenched fist, the wicked word, if you give your bread to the hungry and relief to the oppressed.
Call and the Lord will say, I am here.
Your light will rise in the darkness and your shadows become like noon. The Lord will always guide you, giving you relief in desert places.
Cry, and God will answer. Call, and the Lord will say, I am here. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn.
And a time for every purpose.
Reading from the Gospel comes from Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Thank you, John, Jack, Johnny, Beth. It's one of my favorite songs. I was actually around when that song came out. Most of those songs I wasn't around when they came out, but I know that one. You know, it was a tough decision on a sermon title, because first thing I thought of when I read this scripture and then hearing it again is attention getters. There are a lot of people who love to have attention, and they'll do whatever it takes to get attention. And so Jesus talks about these people that are attention getters. I mean, have you ever sought attention? No, Troy says he never has. Have any of y'all ever sought attention? You know, you'd done something just to get someone to pay attention to you, or perhaps it was when you were a child or a teen, you wanted to get attention. We see people on the news who are out to get attention. Sometimes it is someone who feels the need to start a war just to get attention. You believe that? It's true. People have started wars just to get attention. Some people perform daring acts to get attention. And then there are those who simply throw a fit or whine to get attention. You ever heard of the old saying, the squeaky cog gets the grease? That's the principle there, you know? And so Jesus talks about this, and in Jesus' time on this earth, as he walked through these towns, there were those who would walk down the streets with trumpets blasting to announce their coming. They wanted attention to get out there, blow that trumpet. I want everyone to know I'm coming into town. And especially if they were giving. The message was, look at me, I'm giving alms. I need attention. And there were those who would stand in front of others in the synagogues and on street corners praying out loud to ensure everyone knew they were practicing their faith. Oh Lord, here I am. Look, everybody, I'm praying. Well, and then there were those who, when they were fasting, would contort their faces and make big scenes so everyone would know they were suffering for God. You seen anyone who's decided to go on a diet, or they're truly fasting, and they walk around and they go, you know, I don't feel too well because I'm really trying hard so that God will know that I care. Look at me. I want attention. Won't God be proud? Yet our Lord said all these things were for naught. This is not what God wants or expects of His people. A man once said he had never been very comfortable on high-rise elevators. There was something about riding up and down in a little box several hundred feet off the ground that never sat well with him. He worried that something would go wrong. One day it did. The car he was riding in got stuck between floors way up and the higher floors. He noted that some of the people in the car became frantic. They began to beat on the door, hoping to get someone's attention. Others began to yell in the hopes that their voices would get someone on the surrounding floors to come help. But nobody heard their noise or their cries. Then this man quietly made his way to the front of the car, opened a little door in the wall, and pulled out a telephone. Immediately, he was connected with someone on the outside. He didn't need to beat on the wall to get their attention. He didn't need to speak loudly into the phone to receive their help. He could have whispered, and they would have heard him. He added, "In this world, we're going to get stuck in places where we aren't comfortable. Some people begin to beat against the walls, others cry out in dismay. But the person who trusts in the power of confident prayer knows there's someone on the other end who hears their call and comes to their aid. Someone who believes." So see, Jesus is talking to these folks and he says, if you believe, you don't have to act like them because you're on that little phone. God hears you. That's all that matters. You see, that's all that matters. What Jesus says to us is that we don't need to make a big display to impress others or attract attention to ourselves. We simply need to speak to our Heavenly Father from our hearts, and He will hear us. And He will reward us. So it comes down to this: whose reward do you want? The reward of those around you or the reward of your Heavenly Father? How we handle tough times is indicative of who we really are. What we say and do is indicative of our character, not only as a person, but as a Christian. Griping is not an unusual trait shared by a good number of Christians, whether they are at work, at home, or in church. Demanding bosses, nagging wives, stubborn kids, boring preachers, an incompetent government, rising prices, the list of our objects of complaint goes on and on and on. If we find, and I mean find as in you find somebody, if we find ourselves for every moment we whined since our childhood, we would probably be substantially better off today. One instance demonstrating this feeble nature of humans happened after the tragic death of a teenage snowboarder in the Angeles Crest Mountains in 1998. Jeff Thornton, a young snowboarder, was found by a resilient search party after being lost for 10 days, only to die about a week later as a result of complications of gangrene, frostbite, exposure, shock, and broken bones. The Christians in the town where Jeff had lived had different reactions to the boy's demise. Some, among them Jeff's mother, were thankful that God allowed Jeff to be with them a short while longer. Most others were angry, questioning God for allowing Jeff to be found only to take him away. For these town folks, God was either gracious or cruel, depending on whom you asked. Are we a people who express our gratitude for what we have and for the time we have with others, or are we complaining, ungrateful whiners who only find what is wrong? What doesn't fit our idea of right? Complain as we may, the world keeps on turning and has since time begins. Turn, turn, turn. We may be loud, we may be obnoxious, we may even be rude, but the only one who is actually in charge will not give us any more attention than he does those who approach him quietly and calmly. In a letter to his friends, hymn writer Wendell P. Lovelace related this story. One evening, a speaker who was visiting the United States wanted to make a telephone call. He entered a phone booth, but found it to be different from those in his own country. It was beginning to get dark, so he had difficulty finding the number in the directory. He noticed there was a light in the ceiling, but he didn't know how to turn it on. As he tried again to find the number in the fading twilight, a passerby noted his plight and said, "Sir, if you want to turn the light on, you have to shut the door." To the visitor's amazement and satisfaction, when he closed the door, the booth was filled with light. He soon located the number and completed the call. In a similar way, when we draw aside in a quiet place to pray, we must block out our busy world and open our hearts to the Father. Rather than whine and complain, we share with God out of a calm spirit and a warm heart. Our darkened world of disappointments and trials will be illuminated. We will enter into communion with God. We will sense His presence, and we will be assured of His provision for us. Our Lord often went to be alone with the Heavenly Father. Sometimes it was after a busy day of preaching and healing, and sometimes when He just had a heavy heart about the events to come. Do you find yourself wanting to call attention to yourself? Wanting everyone to know when you've accomplished something, or wanting everyone to know when you're unhappy, feel wronged, or feel disappointed by another? When you wish to share this with your Maker, beware of practicing your piety before men and women in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Bottom line, remember, you have a secret pal. It's not someone everyone can see. It's not someone that you will ever see, but it is someone who listens to you, who answers your prayers, and who is present with you every day of your life. Jesus said it, and I believe it. That's why we come together tonight. This is a night in which we say, we're going to join that 40-day fast with you. It is the only time of the year that you will see disciples of Christ not communing because it's inappropriate. It's a beginning of a fast. What is it you're going to give up this Lent? And how much of that are you going to share with your secret pal? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for the opportunity to come together as your people. And we ask that you fill us with your Spirit during this time of Lent, that we may go forth speaking to you, walking with you, and doing your will. For we ask these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. From ancient times, Christians have on this day searched their hearts and sought to be cleansed from sin. They have sought reconciliation with God and with one another. They have received ashes marked on their foreheads as a sign of sin's disfigurement and of their own mortality. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. If you would come forward, we'll have the imposition of the ashes. Let us pray. Merciful God, the ashes are our pledge to take up the cross of life. We came from the earth and we will go back to it. In the meantime, beginning these 40 days, we will try to live here and make it a better home for everyone. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news of God's reconciling love toward all and believe. Through Christ, God chose to reconcile the whole universe, making peace through the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, through Christ alone. This time we will sing "It Is Well With My Soul," hymn number 561, verses 1, 2, and 4. If you would, please stand, and now we will pass the peace. If you will look in your bulletin, the peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
As you go forward this night, go forward knowing that this is a time to rejoice. It is 40 days of fasting, but not 40 days to look sad or unhappy or unfortunate. It's a day to celebrate, a day in which we head toward that day in which God gave His only Son for us. Let us receive the benediction. And now may our Lord be with you, fill you with hope, fill you with love, and fill you with peace. Amen. Thank you for reading. Appreciate it.